Thank you, Bob, and I thought maybe you knew something I didn't know. The way things change in our business these days, you wouldn't be surprised that maybe I thought I woke up this morning from working for Bell South and ended the day working for Verizon. But seriously, it's a pleasure to be here and be on George Washington's campus. George Washington's a real good friend of ours, both at Bell South and at NSTAC. So thanks for hosting this today, and thanks for having me here today. The other thing I'd like to say before I get started is to Bill and our friends at NTIA, amen. A lot of what you had to say today, I think you read my notes, but I won't come back and touch on some of that, but some of the Katrina issues and other things we work closely on, you're right on point. So amen to what you had to say, and very much appreciate that. What I wanted to do today is give you a perspective of a Presidential Advisory Committee, NSTAC, National Security Telecommunications Advisory Committee, of the issues that between our principals, which are typically CEO, chairman level, and our key stakeholders in government, what's on their mind? What is it that concerns them as they look out on the landscape and say, what is it that we in NSTAC can bring to the table in the form of recommendations to the President of the United States to address national security and emergency preparedness? So I thought it might be helpful to look at that today so you know what we're working on, to kind of give you a frame of reference for what these senior leaders in government and industry think are important, and also to seek your input. There's a way to do that. We have a lot of NSTAC member companies represented here today, SAIC, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, we go down the list. And there's a number of you folks here today. I saw a fellow from Motorola. They're on the committee as well. So we have a wide range of perspectives at the table with NSTAC. But we also invite non-NSTAC member companies to participate in our task force work, and I'll share some of that with you in just a minute. Assuming, here we go. I'm a real technical person, you can tell.
It's my fault. To the next page.
Go to the next, yeah.
Just a hitting an arrow.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Who are our stakeholders? Ultimately, it's the President of the United States. The President, President Reagan, in fact, created this body back in 1982. And what drove that creation of this group was the breakup of AT&T, which was coming in 1984. The President wanted a wide range of communications expertise he could turn to get input on issues of national security and emergency preparedness. That's where NSTAC started, and that's where we are today, 20 plus years later. So the President is our customer, but supporting him are key stakeholders we work directly with every day. Homeland Security Council, National Security Council. Bob mentioned and Bill mentioned the Office of Science and Technology Policy, very key group we work with. Dr. John Marburger and Richard Russell and that team. Office of Management and Budget, and then obviously Department of Homeland Security, key stakeholder of ours. We're primarily interfacing with the Infrastructure Protection Group. We work with a number of different agencies, entities within DHS, and of course the Department of Defense, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But again, the frame of reference here is the issues we're working on have come from both industry and from this list of stakeholders that you see here on the presentation. Here's the current work that NSTAC has underway. Again, the focus being national security and emergency preparedness. Now, some people will debate with you about what that means. From our perspective, what it means is what at the highest level of government has to be in place to ensure that the President can communicate under any scenario for national security and emergency preparedness, primarily continuity of government and continuity of operations. That's the very highest level. Now, some folks would argue that it needs to go all the way down to the first responder, and that's where a lot of you bring expertise to the table that we're looking at, but right now we're trying to stay at this highest level. Next generation networks. As you know, today we're in that evolutionary period, that migration from traditional circuit-based telephony to IP-based telephony. That migration's underway as we speak. And eventually you'll have IP-based telephony that will address wireline, wireless, IP telephony, satellite. It'll all be IP-based, and that migration is underway today. A lot of that brings tremendous advantages, tremendous value, tremendous features and functionality that you don't have today. The issue we're looking at is what does it also bring from a security perspective? And how do you deliver the functionality that government needs on an IP-based network and to ensure that it works under situations of stress? For example, one of the issues that the government has to have, one of their primary functions, is priority routing. Well, if you're an IP-based network, how do you do priority routing over the Internet? Pretty good question. And a lot of folks are looking at that, NSTAC's looking at that, trying to make sure that the government understands what IP-based telephony will do and what it won't do, and then work on those areas of concern to ensure that the most robust communications capability, IP-based, is in place for the government to use and for it to perform under any scenario. That work is well underway. The draft is almost finished. We hope to have it out and to the president by springtime. But if you're interested in the work we've done and you want to participate in that work, I'll give you a website to go to, and you can get to anybody that you need to get to participate. Just go to NCS, Nancy Charles Sound, National Communications System, .gov. That's where we are housed, if you will, and that's the group that supports our work. The National Coordinating Center, that's a center that very few folks may know about. It's the National Coordinating Center for Telecommunications. It's housed in DHS today. It's the model, and maybe the only model today, of where industry and government sit face-to-face, hand-to-hand, every day to prepare for and respond to incidents. We think it's a model that should be pursued possibly by other infrastructures like electric power. It has performed in 9/11, it performed in Katrina, and it's where all the carriers, and there's about 30 carriers that are members of this organization, seven of whom are resident, seriously plan, take off the competitive hats, and plan what's best for the nation day in, day out, and then respond to an incident when it happens. And again, very involved in 9/11, very involved in Katrina. What we're looking at, though, is as communications migrates, and you've got voice, data, video, and all those capabilities on an IP-based platform, how does the NCC need to be staffed, managed, funded, to ensure that we can respond to that incident in the future, 5 years, 10 years down the road, when in fact it's all IP-based? But the National Coordinating Center was a recommendation of NSTAC. It's been around going on 20 years, and it's something we want to ensure is continued and something we want to ensure is as robust as it can be to respond to the future of communications, which, again, is underway as we speak. We're closely coordinating our efforts within what's called the Communications ISAC, Information Sharing and Analysis Center, and the IT ISAC. Today they're two separate entities. At some point in the future, they'll become one, in my opinion, and I think that's going to be very important for the country. And these are somewhat interrelated as you look at them. Electric power interdependencies. As we move more and more to IP-based telephony and the need for power gets closer and closer to the desktop, our dependency and interdependency on electric power is critical and more critical every day. Without power, you're dead in the water, no pun intended from Katrina. but Katrina, and I'll talk about that in just a second. Katrina was a tremendous opportunity. As devastating as it was a tremendous opportunity to have a real live exercise under fire of what could happen under other scenarios. People would have said, you can't lose electric power for months. Well, we did. There's still areas in New Orleans today that don't have power. So there's things that we have got to consider as we look to the future to ensure that the communication systems work under any scenario. We're looking at it from two perspectives. One is the people and process issues. How do different infrastructures work more closely together? We've gotten involved with the North American Electric Reliability Council, Edison Electric. So we're beginning to form partnerships where we can better respond and work with one another. But as we look to the future, we think that could be even better. That's the people and process part. The other part is new technologies. You know, what can be done working with the labs and working with industry to look at better battery technology, fuel cell technology, lower power requirements, different things to do to reduce the need for power, the amount of power, or to reduce the need for power, period, or to do it in a different way. That's leading edge kind of things that we think eventually you have to have in place or these systems won't work. Research and development. A key ingredient there is a recommendation we recently made about a national test bed that would be somewhat facilitated by government, maybe funded by government, but it would be industry, government, and academia working together on a test bed to test these requirements and functions that are needed by government end-to-end, looking at different technologies. So you would be able to have a test bed, national in scope, if not international, where you could test, for example, a priority call front that originates on a circuit-based landline, goes to an IP-based backbone, and terminates on a cable telephony voice over IP system. Now think about that. How do you do priority routing over that? Interesting concept. And the only way to do that is in a test bed where you've got all those technologies available so you can connect them end-to-end and look at those functions that you need to deliver, like priority routing, and how do you do that? We're right in the middle of that. That test bed report has been, recommendation has been made to the president, and it's in the White House as we speak. Legislative and regulatory, there's always regulatory and legislative issues that we have to deal with, and that group is actively involved in looking at a number of things like the Stafford Act and some other things I'll talk about in just a second. Outreach, that's what I'm doing here today, letting you know what we're working on and asking you to participate if you have that desire and that need to help us with our deliberations and make the best recommendation that we can to the president. Emergency communications. This is one that's brand new. It's what we call a scoping effort. We're trying to determine what is it that NSTAC can do and bring value to the table for the president in the area of emergency communications. I know a lot of you represent local and state governments, first responder communities, and that's a critical issue that you're working on. What we're trying to decide is, what is it that NSTAC can do in making recommendations to the president to have the most robust emergency communications capability in place, much like Bill said. The thought there is, and it started before Katrina, but Katrina really emphasized it. How do you think ahead? How do you pre-plan and have in place a strategy to deploy all the assets that are available for you, be it wireline, wireless, IP-based, satellite, military assets? How do you have all that pre-planned, thought through, and how do you interconnect all of those folks when you have to drop in a satellite-based system or when you have to drop in military assets? How do you bring them up? And as Bill said, how do you bring them back down? A lot of work needs to be done in that area, and that's one thing that NSTAC is looking at. What can we do in that to support that? Katrina lessons learned. I want to spend a little time on the first one because I think it's extremely important. We're trying to work with our stakeholders to tee up the notion of not a first responder, but an emergency responder. Once you, the first responder community, have deployed and done what you've got to do, we don't want to be in that game. But there's a second wave that has to come, and we think telecommunications or communications providers and electric power providers, and maybe others, need to be in that second wave and recognized as such by state and local and federal officials so that we can get access to the site. People will argue again with you about what's most important, but I would say any list you look at in the top five is going to be communications and power every time. And we've got to be able to be recognized as someone who needs, what's the right word I'm looking for? Not special, but certainly recognizes priority access and priority needs to be able to access a site, get security, get fuel, get water, because the rest of the community, if you will, is depending on us, whether it's wireline, wireless, IP, satellite. So we're really pushing that issue right now. We had a meeting with the key stakeholders last week, NSTAC did, to try to see what needs to be done to move that issue forward quickly. By the end of January, what legislative requirements need to be met. One thing we're looking at is the Stafford Act. The Stafford Act during Katrina was pointed to as not allowing federal assistance for private infrastructure. If that is in fact the case, then we've got to fix that problem. We're not looking for a handout. We're willing to reimburse whatever for whatever we get. But in certain scenarios, like in New Orleans with Katrina, the civil unrest, which was unprecedented, we had to have security or we couldn't work. And that was an issue we went through several days of working with our stakeholders to resolve. So the Stafford Act is one thing we're looking at. Another thing that we think has to be addressed is the National Response Plan. Most of you are familiar with that. But within the National Response Plan, there are what they call ESFs, Emergency Support Functions. ESF 13 is for security. ESF 2 is for communications. We're trying to ensure that if the law is changed, if in fact it needs to be, we think it does, and if the National Response Plan is tweaked, if you will, to recognize that change in the law, then I think we will have made tremendous progress. So the next incident, our federal, state, and local partners understand what they can do and what they can't do to help private infrastructure, owners and operators. Another piece of that is access. 9/11, huge issue with access to the site in New York. Katrina, 4 years later, huge issue with access to the site in New Orleans. We got to get that problem fixed. NSTAC has made a recommendation to the president that there needs to be a standard credential that I think there's several models we could pursue, and that standard credential needs to be issued to the emergency responders we've talked about, and that they have priority access to get through a perimeter of a disaster. That's not that complicated. We just got to get that done quickly, because hurricane season arrives again in about 6 months, and we could have a man-made incident in the next 5 minutes. So we've got to get that access piece done. Roles and responsibilities. As you know, in Katrina, you had local officials, local assets, state assets, federal, both FEMA, National Guard, and then ultimately NORTHCOM and the military. There needs to be a close coordination and understanding of who's doing what in a disaster. And that's some work that needs to be done there, and we're involved in that. Emergency communications, I talked about that. You know, I would say that's really how you layer the different technologies ahead of time, pre-stage, pre-position, those different technologies you can call on during a disaster to ensure that NSEP level of communications is in fact addressed. And the fourth one is interoperability. A lot of folks working on that. We're trying to see what value NSTAC can bring to that as far as going above the SAFECOM issues, going above the local and first responder issues, and trying to ensure that at the highest level that interoperability works, that has to be in place for the president to do what he or she has to do. So those are the key things we learned from Katrina. An awful lot of issues that came out of that. We tried to categorize these into these four subtopics, and we think we've captured everything, and we have a real sense of purpose, a real sense of urgency to get this done sooner instead of later. So if you have thoughts or you have input to this effort, we welcome it. Again, go to the ncs.gov website, or you can call me, david.barron@bellsouth.com, and we'll be glad to put you into these groups to get your input. So thank you very much. Look forward to your questions and comments, and thanks for letting us be here today.